Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in and just really grateful for the group that we're having to come on today to share pertinent information for each family to know so that they will know how to defend their children. So very grateful, very grateful. But first of all, we'd like to really share the podcast of today. We know you're going to want to share it. So tell your friends, please go to www.cityonahill.tv and share the podcast for such a time as this. And we've got great people. First of all, I'm going to say hello to Jackie Berger from New York. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. You've already got me tearing just hearing your voice. Fighting mom.
How are you doing?
Mom. I'm doing great. Thank you for fighting because it's just an encouragement to us when we see your postings and how, you know, you're just carrying this to where it needs to be carried at the highest level before God and before anybody that comes before you. So we want to do the same. And I want to say hi to my dearest two friends in California, Don Wildman and Miss Christina Micas. Hi, folks.
Hi there.
Hi, Diana.
I'm so glad to be with these women of God. And, of course, last but not least, oh, my very sweet dear friend, Ms. Annette Griswold. Hi, Ms. Annette.
Hello, Diana. How are you today?
Oh, I am doing great, and I'm so glad you're on because now you get to talk with these awesome ladies, Ms. Annette. You have been mentoring me all these years, and I'd like to share to everybody, you are the first one to really wake me up to the indoctrination that you saw was coming. As a school board member, you have been fighting for the children in your county.
I'm so honored and humbled to be on the air today with these people who are in the ditches, laboring really hard for our children. I'm just so thankful and humbled to be a part of this.
Well, we are thankful that you have kept up the fight, Ms. Annette, because you know, you're the one that really opened my eyes. And back then, you know, many years ago, the problem was just so humongous that I did not know what to do. But little by little, God has sent us help, and these are some of the folks. But first of all, I think we'd like to start off with really asking Don. Don, you're so good at the Twitter and all that. Would you mind posting? I know Brad tried to teach me, and I then forgot what he taught. But would you post on Twitter some way for people if they have questions, and if you could look at that, and we'll try to read their questions and you know, try to see if we can answer some of their questions or comments?
Sure. No problem.
Okay, and if you don't mind, just tell me what they should do when you get it set up. Just break in and tell me, because I don't know what they should do.
Well, if they just go to send us a message at Cure, C-U-R-E, Nat, N-A-T, then we'll be able to see any of the questions they have for guests and such.
Okay, so they just go on Twitter, find it on Twitter, and then go to that, Cure. Is that what I heard? Okay, Cure Nat.
Yes.
Is there a dot in between or not? Nothing? Is there a Cure and then a period and then N-A-T?
No, it's just Cure Nat.
Okay, this is for the National Citizens United for Responsible Education. That's what we want for our children, who are precious in God's eyes and certainly in our eyes, and they're worth fighting for. So that's what we're doing today, folks. We're getting you people that have been in the trenches at this from the beginning. And Ms. Christina Marcos and Ms. Annette Grisol, we owe so much for the wisdom that God has given you and you're sharing. But I guess, first of all, let's go ahead and let people understand that this is not just about something that happened overseas. We are very concerned because it is happening in our schools here in the great United States of America, freedom-loving America. And I'd like for you, Jackie, if you don't mind, you know, that story that you shared with us, not everybody has heard it, but I saw where a lot of people is hearing it, Jackie, so thank God for that, right? They're hearing
yes.
it. So
yes.
Would you mind, I don't know, Jackie, I'll let you tell us what you want to tell us about, whether you want to tell us that story or lead into something else. You go ahead and just, you know, speak to America.
Yeah, I'll just give you a brief story because you're familiar with what my son was going through in school. My son has a learning disability, and, you know, he's got poor organizational skills, and, you know, he doesn't read as quickly as other children, and I don't know if everyone's familiar with this Common Core, but this is a one-size-fits-all education plan for children in, I mean, I'm in New York, and this was picked up by, 42 states?
46, honey.
46 states? Yeah. Well, one size does not fit all. You cannot expect a child with a learning disability to try and keep up with work that with kids that don't have a learning disability, but that's not even the point. This work is obnoxious. They are working these kids so much, testing them like you wouldn't believe. They're putting so much pressure on these children. I, since the last time I spoke to you, I pulled my son out of his public school. The school gave me a very hard time. My child was in tears every single day. My child had an emotional breakdown in the lobby of his school, cried hysterical, kicked his shoes off, tried to run out of the door. He's just been begging me not to make him go there anymore. And, you know, from my last story, I could not figure out what was wrong with my son. And I just didn't know what was going on. And then, you know, I just started taking a closer look and a closer look at the schoolwork he was doing. And he would come home with this stuff saying Common Core on it. And I was, you know, he was doing math that I couldn't even figure out. I had to pick up the phone and call adults and read the math problem to them. And me and, you know, other adults would sit there. It would take us 10 minutes to figure out what they were even asking. We could not. How is a child supposed to do this? This is ridiculous. So now at that point, I started researching this Common Core because, of course, I would question the teachers. You know, what is this? This doesn't make any sense. How can a child be able to figure this out? And the only thing I'd ever get was, it's just this new, you know, these new standards that we have to do. That's all I was being told. And then he would come home with his math book, and, of course, I researched the math book, which is put out by a publishing company called Pearson's. and Pearson's has got a big hand in this education scam. And basically, that's what this is. And the parents need to know that this is an education scam. This is to knock down our public school system and replace it with Pearson educators and Pearson's view of the future for a one world order, okay? You have to research these things. You have to research Common Core. You have to research Pearson's. Research the money that Bill Gates put into this. This is all part of a big plan to dumb our children down. And to watch my child change before my eyes, I started realizing that my son was being dumbed down. I don't care that he has a learning disability. My son's not dumb, and neither are any of these children. But I have since pulled my son out of public school. After he had another crying fit, I was told by the principal of my child's school that I should take him to a psychiatric ward. An 8-year-old little boy, I should take him to a psychiatric ward because he was crying hysterical and didn't want to go to school. My son has never been in trouble. My son is the sweetest, most polite, kind, courteous little boy you'll ever meet. And I'm being told that I should take my son to a psychiatric ward. And I said to her, I said, my son does not need a psychiatric ward. What my son needs is age-appropriate work that he can understand. And she turned around and she said to me, when your son gets in this building, he is fine. So he can understand the work. I have an administrator telling me what my son can handle. And this is all part of their control. You know, the kids now are being taught, do what you're told, sit down, keep your mouth shut, and that's what they're trying to do to all of us. They're trying to shut up the parents. They've already gag-ordered all the teachers. None of the teachers are allowed to speak to any of the parents about it because their jobs were threatened if they speak badly about Common Core. So parents out there are not going to get the information that they're looking for from their schools. They're not going to get it. You have to be smart enough to research it yourself. And there are plenty of web pages out there on Stop Common Core. There's plenty of them. And like I said, the most informative piece that parents can watch is that 5-part video from, I'm not sure of her name again, but she's from the American Principal.
Robbins. Her name is Jane Robbins.
Yes. Yeah. I started with that. I mean, my jaw dropped when I realized what was going on. Since I pulled my daughter out and I had words with the principal, my daughter, who's my 8-year-old son's twin sister, okay, she's still in the school. She's finishing out the year, and then I'm pulling her in September. They're now attending a interactive online school called FPE, which stands for Freedom Project Education, which is outstanding. He's been doing it for 3 weeks now, and he's actually doing third grade work. I mean, the things they took away from these children because of Common Core is cursive writing. My children are supposed to be going into the fourth grade. They don't know how to write a script letter to save their life. They don't know how to tell time on a clock. But instead, okay, I just wanted to let you know, because I'm still enraged, and I'm enraged every single day with this public school. My daughter has become a target now since I opened my mouth and stood up to the school. She's sent to detention. She was sent to detention 5 days in a row. On days where the weather finally broke and it was beautiful here. So these children are now being punished for work that they're not completing because these teachers are under pressure to turn it in. Okay? And now I get a letter home the other day. You know, people can argue this and say this has been around for years and this is all part of health class. My daughter doesn't have health class. My daughter's never had a health class, and what is it? What do we have? 1 month left to the year? Never was she taught any kind of health in this public school. And now I get a letter home on Friday that my daughter's going to be having a class lesson on HIV and AIDS and how, you know, blood-to-blood, it's a blood-to-blood contact disease that you can die from. And she's 8 years old. What do they think? Are they kidding me that this is necessary to take up classroom time with this? Why don't you teach them how to write script so they can read the Declaration of Independence? I mean, how are these people taking up valuable classroom time with stuff like this? And you know I spoke about this before, because Common Core, I like to say, is a monster with many tentacles. I mean, there's many aspects to it. Okay, it's standardized testing, it's the schoolwork they're getting, it's the data collection on our children. Okay, so that this will be run by the government. You will lose your rights as a parent. The government will have rights over your child. You will be just a birther. That's it. And we need to stop this. We need to stop it. Since I polled my son, I just received a letter in the mail today. Okay. Here I am, a mom, so relieved that I got him away from there, and I got him away from this stuff, all right? And now I'm being told, because my son has an IEP, which is an individualized education plan, and he received AIS services, which is academic intervention services. It's basically extra help, reading, writing, and all that. And now I just received a letter stating that my child needs to continue with his AIS services, and that it is mandatory for my son to get these services in order to meet the New York State Common Core standards. You're going to tell me that you have my hands tied behind my back and that I have to send my child back to these fake standards? They're not even real standards. They're not real standards. They were presented after the state signed on for their grant money. No one even had a chance to look at them. They were not written by educators. There was no proof that this would work when they did receive it. And it's not. It's all part of this big scam to dumb our children down, so that the government can take control, and the government will tell you what job your child is entitled to.
Jackie, will you explain to the people what AIS is and what exactly it is that they are wanting you to do?
AIS is Academic Intervention Services, which is services in certain public schools that you're entitled to. It depends on your school's district. This district here, you know, we pay a lot of taxes here, so we get these services. We're fortunate enough to get these services, and it's extra help for the kids who, you know, have learning disabilities, okay? Usually AIS services is usually accompanied by what my son has, the IEP, Individualized Education Plan. But you tell me, because my son has that, and they're giving every child the same work at the same time in 46 states, what's the purpose of having that? Oh, so they can sit with him and try and explain the confusion of the Common Core math, but in a smaller setting? I don't want him subjected to that work at all.
I don't blame you, Jackie. Well, Jackie, let me do something I was remiss in doing. Miss Annette, if you don't mind, you know how we always love to start the show off with prayer? And I got so excited about all y'all being on. Would you mind starting us off, that God would help us in this conversation?
Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you, Lord, making our petitions, knowing you tell us what we agree, Father, that you are there. And Father, this is a heart-rending story this young mother has with her two children, Father. And I just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to intervene. And Father, we know that the battle is great, and we know what we're wrestling against is spiritual wickedness in high places. We know this is all part of the new world order. But Lord, greater are you that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, right now we just ask you, Father, to guide and direct us as to what we can do. Bless Diana for her efforts, Lord, to to make this known and for the parents to hear it and understand it. Guide us, Lord, in knowing what steps we need to take. We know, Lord, that you can do anything, but, Father, you need people with feet, Lord, to walk it out. And Father, we need your help to guide us. And I just ask you, Father, to just help us to do those things that would be pleasing to you. And, Lord, sometimes we think it's getting so bad, Father, so we just want to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But, Father, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to occupy and to stand the ground, Father, until you do return. And we just thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for everything that's accomplished. And we know, Lord, that you still are in control. And we thank you, Lord, that we can make our petitions known to you and that you will answer and you will hear our prayers, Lord. We have that promise and we believe it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Ms. Annette. Well, let me, I guess, give a, we are about doing something. We don't want to just really hear what Jackie's got to say. We want to be a part of the solution. And I know that with God's help, we can do it. We can do something about it. But first of all, I know that, you know, there's things going on in the federal government. We're hearing that Chuck Grassley has presented a bill, and, you know, I don't know how much help we'll get with that, but it is getting the attention of the people because the news is having to pick it up. What's this all about? So that's good. And I know that the House of Representatives, they're also asking for answers. And they're, you know, there's Senator, I mean, Representative Luke Meyer that's looking at defunding it. We have on our website, CURE website, the really petition to try to get our legislators to come on board with Representative Luke Meyer's bill and defund. We need to be defunding Common Core. But there is also a new bill that Martha Roby has presented, which is to tell the feds to get out of the state twice. The states have the rights in regard to this education, and that they have stepped on our toes, so we will not take it. So that's another thing, and you can look up the website, Representative Martha Roby. I'm trying to pass that around on Facebook, because what she's trying to do is really get some attention to what's going on, because they're going to have to, there's that early education, I'm not saying, there's a funding that's going to happen, ESEA, I can't remember what that stands for right now, but I think she's getting the legislators, the representatives, to be mindful that, okay, you're going to be hit with trying to fund this thing, and you need to know that they are stepping on states' rights. This is the federal overreach, and so she's bringing attention to that fact. So more power to Martha Roby. We need to be helping her. Our legislators, representatives need to be behind that idea. And also, though, that's the federal level, and, of course, each state is trying to do their thing, and the latest thing I saw was it's wonderful to see what New York has done. I think they're now going to allow New Yorkers an option to opt out of the standardized testing, and I want to ask Jackie. Jackie, could you tell us more about that? I saw that in Long Island opt-out info.
I saw it as well, and there may be some schools that are speaking up, and there are schools like the one that my children attend that are not speaking up and covering this whole thing up. You know, there are certain schools that are going to do what they're told to do because they're frightened. Their jobs are threatened, and, you know, they're not shining the light for these parents. They're not telling these parents. But I believe that letter is for certain schools. You know, if your principal decides to speak up, then they're making an opt-out form for your district. I don't believe that came. I could be wrong, but as far as I know right now, and I just saw it this morning, so I'm not sure if that came from the Department of Education. So that has to be looked into a little more. I just wanted to say something on what you were speaking about, you know, the states. And what a lot of parents don't realize is they're all being lied to, and they'll all be telling the parents, like my school tells everyone, that this was state-led. This was not state-led. Okay, this was pulled over the eyes of our states. And a lot of parents don't realize that, and that's what makes it a scam, okay? They had to make it look like a state-generated initiative. And who's running it is what they did, these people. They went to the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers, which sounds really legit, right? But they're D.C.-based trade associations. They're trade associations. They have nothing to do with education. And they got, you know, they had a grant of authority to write these national school standards. How do parents out there feel about a trade association writing school standards for your child?
They were not written
by educators.
You know, ladies,
this is to profit off our children.
You know, ladies, this all started way back with outcome-based education, which it's a Nazi-inspired thing. It says change the children first. It's difficult to indoctrinate the older generation. And that's all part of the outcome-based education. They just put a new title on it.
Yep. Go after the children is the first order of business.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Christina.
It has a deep root.
Christina.
Going to what she was saying, you know, it has a very deep root. It's not just something that just surfaced to go after the children. It has a deep root and a very dark meaning to it.
Agenda. Yeah, that's why I said that this is a monster with many tentacles.
Well, let me go ahead and bring somebody up in the conversation that I just saw come on, and it's Alice Linehan from Texas. Hi, Alice.
Yay.
Hi, ladies. Thank
Hi,
you
Alice.
For doing what you do. Hello, every day. We are going to take our states and our country back, and it's going to be moms and dads, just like each of you. So I'd love to just tap into what Jackie was just saying. You know, this was all bought and paid for with the billions of dollars from the Gates Foundation. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of information now coming out, and we have the talking points to explain this, that these trade associations, just like you're talking about, were paid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The Gates, I'm looking at an article right now. The Gates Foundation jump-started the Corps by giving $10 million to the Chief Council of State School Officers to write the education standards that 46 states have given. And that's just one little piece of the billions and billions of dollars. Basically, Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation is reshaping America's education with his pocketbook. Mm-hmm. And our hope is for moms and dads to, step in and take control of their children's education. Exactly what Jackie did. She saw what was happening to her son. And she stepped in and took control of the situation, protected her child, and is helping other moms and dads to do the same thing. That is our hope right there. Exactly what you did, Jackie, is what
yeah.
is our to save our nation. And I just
well,
want to say
and
our,
I'll tell
our
you,
good
I'm,
thank you.
I'm still trying to protect them, and I'm still up against a force, and you know,
right.
you know that
right.
the devil will play with you in many ways, and I'm not going to back down because our God is greater and our God is good, and I'm not going to be defeated.
Right.
Oh, thank
and
you
that's,
so much. Oh.
That's exactly
Go ahead, Al.
That's exactly the reason why we will win, because
yes.
our only agenda is our child. And that cannot be bought. by dollars. And these elected officials in each and every state, many are very good and are willing to fight, but many are not, and they're being bought off. And that is where we have to fight back, because we cannot be bought off.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Alice, let me ask you this, because I'm glad you came on, and we're going to stay on for a couple hours, so we extend this another hour, just in case somebody has questions, and with so many great guests, I know some of you hopefully can stay on and you know, just give us more input on this. But Alice, I know that Miss Annette, one of the things that she was keying on is, unfortunately, the Islamization. And, you know, we saw that, unfortunately, in some of the, in Texas. So if you don't mind, share us your concerns about that, and also share with us about what you were telling us the other day, that even though you had hopefully tried to get rid of Steve Scope, well, here's the other avenue that the enemy has found. So if you don't mind, share that again.
Definitely, definitely. Well, there is it's easy to see this marriage between the far-left progressives and the Islamic fundamentalists. And in this Common Core philosophy of education, where everything is subjective and we bring kids together to decide what the right and wrong answers are, that is their end to get their agenda in the door. Now, whether it's through Common Core, the other thing that the Gates Foundation is taking control of financially is our textbooks. And so when you look at what we're seeing in textbooks across the nation with the anti-Americanism and the pro-Islam, it's very dangerous, because what we are doing is we are desensitizing our children and ourselves and teachers to what the real threats are that we face in our nation, from this creeping indoctrination in Sharia. The Sharia law, the fundamentalist Islamic law, that forces submission and forces people to follow their laws. And when you see the tactics that they use to desensitize us, to force us to submit to the Sharia law, that is what is real and what is dangerous. And when you see that even in a state like Texas, that we struggle to pass American Laws for American Courts legislation, which would say that the Texas and American law trumps Sharia law, when the wording has to be changed around to make that type of legislation happen, we have been desensitized through, you know, political correctness and not wanting to offend people. I've heard someone say, you know, not all Muslims are bad people and want to kill us. There are some, though, that do, and they are the ones who are forcing through legislation and forcing through a whitewashing of our textbooks and our curriculum. They are committing what I've heard people call education jihad. They are forcing us to submit. So from a national security perspective, that is what we are seeing. And actually, that is also a issue that we can explain to moms and dads when they open their kiddo's backpack and they see that, you know, the 9/11 terrorists are supposed to be called freedom fighters instead of terrorists. There's a problem, and moms get that, and we will stand up. When you have 15-year-old girls in Texas wearing burqas without understanding the true, you know, harm to women and the what a burqa represents, we are in danger. So from a national security perspective, I think that it is important and key to explain that when we're out there talking to people. This is not just a, you know, conservatives talking about social issues in curriculum. This is much bigger, and it's a marriage between the progressives and the Islamic fundamentalists. So I hope that answers the question.
Excuse me. You are absolutely right. Are any of you familiar with Brigitte Gabrielle?
Oh, yeah.
She came from Lebanon, and her organization called, I'll give you the website. You can go look it up. It's www.actforamericaeducation.org. In there, on page 15 of that document, she tells about how many million dollars since 1975 mm-hmm. the Saudi Arabians have been given to our education system. And you know whoever furnishes the money furnishes the agenda.
Right.
So it's a toss-up as to who gets the minds of our children first, the gays, the progressives, or the Muslims. You are absolutely right, honey.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. Alan West, I was at a Horowitz event the other day, and he made the point. What's interesting is that the progressives don't realize that in partnering with the Islamic fundamentalists, the Islamic fundamentalists are going to win out because their agenda is complete annihilation of the United States. The gay community, the homosexual community, they will be annihilated and killed by the Islamic fundamentalists. So it's very interesting, and I think that is something that if we will approach it in that manner and just speak truth to power and say, do you realize when you're talking to people who are talking about, you know, gay rights and all of that, to say, listen, this is much bigger than you. This is much bigger than your lifestyle. This is much bigger than your choices. In America, you have the freedom to make that choice. But do you realize in partnering and pushing this kind of subjective educational philosophy, you will be the very person that will be targeted by the Islamic fundamentalists?
And can I just say something?
Yes, please do.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but Common Core just also wrote the National Sex Standards. Okay, mm-hmm. And you can go online on the nysed.gov website, which is the New York State Education Department, and read the National Sex Standards aligned with Common Core. So I believe it's by the year 2014-15, their plan is for every child in K through 12, and I just said K, which means kindergarten, are going to be subjected to these national sex standards. And in it, from what I read with my own eyes, that by the time a child is in second grade, the child will know what male and female body parts are called. By the time they're in fifth grade, they will, you know what sexual intercourse is. They will be taught in second grade about homosexuality, lesbianism, abortion. This is what they're going to feed our children. Mm-hmm. Second grade. Now, I don't know about you, but that's nobody has a right to teach that to my child in second grade. That's a parent's right. But if this, we don't stop this, they're going to gain that right, and we will have no say over what they're feeding our children. None. We'll have nobody to go to.
Really, that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. Thank you, Jackie, because I just found out, you know, you were mentioning elementary school, and I just found out about what fifth grade boys were shown at the very end of the school year, the last week of the school year, so that parents would have no recourse here. They were shown a picture of a man when he's excited. And we're not talking about cartoons either. Mm-hmm. And this is 11-year-old.
This is happening. This is happening already.
Indeed. And it just made me think, and this is one thing I was speaking to. Miss Annette Griswold is a former local school board member. I said, Miss Annette, is that we need to do something where at the first of the year we need to know, you know, whatever it is that we can opt out a child for. We don't need to be told this all throughout the year. We need to know at the beginning of the year what it is that's going to be happening. And if we don't know it, it doesn't need to happen. Because a mm-hmm. lot of parents, you know, just like we got, those parents did not, it's probably, you know, how they reverse psychology everything. You know, you probably had to, the child was given something to give to the parents, and if the parents don't give it, that means it's okay. You know, if the parents
right.
don't turn anything in, that means it's okay. So they show all this to these children, and then they give these children a website. If you have any questions, it's not go to your parents, it's go to a website. So I'm curious what
right.
that website is. I'm
right.
very curious. And but
This is just like along the lines with this letter that my daughter just brought home about, you know, I had some parents saying, oh, well, they've been doing that in health. And like I said, my daughter has never received health in this whole entire year. But now all of a sudden she's going to be taught about HIV and AIDS. And you and I as adults know some of the main, you know, reasons for transmission of HIV AIDS is homosexuality, drug use, heterosexual transmission. She's 8 years old. So even if they did not implement the national sex standards as of yet, well, then that will just make it so much easier for this child to connect it when they do get the national sex standards. And I am pulling my daughter out of that lesson. There is no reason an 8-year-old child should be taught that in school.
Well, this is very disturbing. And Ms. Christina, you know, we looked at the UNESCO website, and it was very enlightening to me when you had been warning us that, and you know, you wrote a letter. I don't know if we could talk about that letter today.
Now,
Christina,
we can talk now because it's out there. You know, from what I hear. So I don't know. You know, people are asking me if they can have it, and I don't know. But, you know, we can go ahead and talk about it because I think it's very important, and maybe it will inspire somebody.
Well, do you mind sharing, Ms. Christina?
We wrote a letter to the Southern Baptist Annual Meeting Convention, which is going to go on in Houston, Texas. And the theme of our letter was Stand in the Gap, and that goes throughout the letter. To try to reach out to these pastors, they have a job to do for the Lord, and they're not doing it. They have a job to do for these children from the pulpit. They're not doing it. So this letter is quite extensive. And before we submitted it, it's actually a resolution, and before we submitted it, when we were doing the form, it said a resolution title. Now, the interesting part of the letter is prior to even writing it, we sat together and prayed, and God gave us the scriptures, which then launched the letter. And then we got to the title, and we got stuck. Diana says to me, let's pray. We prayed. God gave me the title right then and there. This is our title of our letter, of our resolution, Baptist Convention. Our Children, Godly Parental Control versus United Nations New World Order. What would God want?
Wow.
And the letter basically ties the entire thing together. What the pastor's responsibility is, what's happening with Common Core, and where Common Core came from. It's a complete education in one letter. I really feel so strongly in my spirit that, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave me a word this morning about this for these pastors. So we'll see what happens because it truly is in God's hands. This letter is a word to these pastors from God. So if they reject, woe to them. As they truly have a responsibility and their 501c3s have become their new God, this has to change.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things we brought up in the letter. But this letter needs to go out not just to Southern Baptist ministers, but to all ministers. They have to start waking up. And they have to be educated. They don't even know what UNESCO or United Nations or agenda, any of these things. They don't know how it all ties and the insidious agenda that is behind all of this. It's not just taking our children and re-educating them into a new program. It has nothing to do with that. It goes so much deeper. And that's why it's so important to educate. We've got to educate people.
Oh, indeed. And I think, Alice, you're right there where the convention is happening, Alice, in about, what, 12, 13 days? Oh, my goodness, we need to send that to you, and
oh,
you read it.
Please,
you can't, get some of your pastors to go and...
Let me send that to you.
I will get it
now,
to
Alice.
People. Yes, please do. I have some people who can definitely... I can get it to the right people.
And, you know, the things we were talking about that they're doing to children, Alice, I think, you know, when the pastors hear it and they hear Jackie's story and they hear what's going to be pressed on further with the national sexuality standards and when they hear you with the Doolin movement and all that's going on, that is so anti-God. And
yep,
they're supposed to be our strong men. And so, you know, that's what I'm praying for is, Lord, let them see, you know, what's happened to the Boy Scouts. They are not beyond the reach of the enemy if they will not stand.
Right. You are exactly right. And I do think we are in a time where knowledge is power, and a lot of people just don't know. They have been desensitized. They have, you know... They're living in a bubble, and until they realize that it's bigger than them, once they do, they will fight back. And I believe we are being called to go out and to educate and to let people know. So it would be my honor to take that letter and to hand it to the right people.
Read it first, Alice.
I couldn't agree with you more,
it.
Though. I couldn't agree with you more. There's a lot of parents out there who, and I was one of them, you know, you get stuck in the world. And you get so busy with your life and your material things and fixing up your house and, you know, the birthday parties you're throwing. And you all of a sudden, you know, people don't have time for God in their life. People don't have time for Him. They have no relationship with the Lord. And then something like this happens, and I do believe what you said, that we were called to bring awareness to this. We were called because we have a relationship with God. We can see through past all this. You know, I just want to say that I had a conversation with my daughter's teacher, and this poor woman. You know, the teachers are being threatened. They were made to sign a gag order to not speak about this with any parents, and a lot of the teachers are being kept in the dark. And this poor woman, she's a young girl who, you know, is a single mother with 5-year-old twin girls, and you know, her job is being threatened. Her bread and water is being threatened to be taken away. And when I spoke to her about some of the state assessment tests, which they call state assessment, but the parents out there, they're not state assessment tests, okay? They're going to these corporations like Pearson who made these tests, who are just profiting off our children, okay? She didn't even – there's many tests out there. You have the ELAs in April. You have the NEWAs, the NWEA tests that were just this week. As a matter of fact, I picked my daughter up this afternoon to take her out of that test to collect data on our children, because these teachers have less than 2 years to teach these horrible standards before they're fired, okay? And – I had to inform her and ask her, when are the NWEA exams? When are the field tests? She turned around and asked me, what is a field test? I said, you don't know what the field tests are? They're being given in the middle of June to every public school. You can go on the Board of Education's website and actually look your school up to see the dates of when these tests are being given to their children. But none of the parents are being informed of half these tests. they don't even know that their kids are being tested and having data collected on them in the schools. But me, I opened my mouth, and of course I found out they couldn't deny me. And, you know, I found out when these tests were. I had to explain to my daughter's teacher, I'm not an educator, but just from researching, I had to explain to her what a field test was. Then when I brought up the national sex standards with her, she said, did you just say S-E-X? And I said, yes. And she goes, what? This is an educator. This is a teacher. She doesn't even know.
Right.
They're going to change our kids. Well, I think what they're doing, you know, you hear the stories of, I heard a story of a man that tried to commit suicide by doing something and the cops, you know, could shoot at him. You know, that was a way of committing suicide. But he was tired of his name being on the sex offenders list. And I think of what we're doing with kids at an inappropriate ages by people who don't care about them. You know, they're giving them this information. They're raising their curiosity. What are we going to do? We're going to raise a bunch of kids like these adults that we have problems with today. And so I'm like you, Jackie. I feel so strongly about that national sex ed standard, sexuality standards. And Dawn, I think, Dawn, you've been tweeting or whatever, probably, but I think, you know, we need to get parents. I wanted to put a plea out there for parents. Look through the backpack for your children. Please look through them. Please don't throw the things away that you're seeing. Please send us copies of them. I think, Dawn, we need to have a one place where, you know, we could sift through all that stuff. You may not understand what it is that you're looking at, but we need kind of a place where they can send it to, Dawn, so that we can sift through this, because I think we're going to be in shock when we find all that stuff that our children are, you know, bringing home and being taught. Dawn?
Diana?
Absolutely agree. I'm actually sending that in a message out on Twitter now.
Dawn, where do they need to send it? What website or what email should they send it to?
They can send it to Dawn, D-A-W-N, dot net, cure, N-A-T-C-U-R-E, at gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah, please don't throw away your children's, you know, papers that's in their backpacks. I know some of you, school's ending. Please don't throw them away. Please look over, scan them. Email it to us so that we will have them. I'm just really led to believe that we're going to find out a whole lot of details in these backpacks. And I'm sorry, Mr. Nat, what were you trying to say?
I'm going to have to get off. I wanted to make this comment. I really appreciate what these ladies are doing. I think getting in touch with the Baptist Association is a very good thing. And every effort that you're making, I'm delighted to see that your parents who are in the know and who are excited about this and going to get on board and do something on your Christians. God will be for you. Could I make a suggestion?
Oh, please do.
Okay, from a school board member's viewpoint, get on the agenda with your local school board. You have to fill out forms. You may know this already. Fill out forms ahead of time, and they'll ask you what's the subject you'll be speaking on. Do not say Common Core. Just say something, you know, you have to be discreet. Say something like educational concerns or something. Just use your own title. But the news media are there because board meetings are supposed to be open meetings, and it blow them out of the water. Just blow them out of the water with facts. And it sounds like you ladies have a lot of facts. And get on the agenda. And if you know any of your school board members, get them on board with you. And if the news media, which, except God's help, you don't get a lot of support from the news media, but God can do anything. It can be, see, people don't know about it. It's like one of you ladies said, I don't remember which one, parents are so busy, you know, birthday parties and running kids back and forth and trying to make a living and everything. They don't know about this. When I try to talk to people about it, they have no earthly idea what I'm talking about. And write letters to your editor, and if you can, get your school board between now and the time school opens up in August or September, whichever, get on one of their meetings and have all your facts together, and then shock them. Just shock them. I'm planning to do that. I'm planning to get information together and meet with our school board between now and September. My health is getting bad because I'm getting very much older, but I told Diana I might have to take a stool to sit on. But this is something we can do. We can do. We can get on the agenda. Let them know how you feel. And their parents, too, grandparents.
Yes, they are. And as a matter of fact, get you were saying, get your school board members right now, those that you can reach. I'm having a meeting tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and I'm going to have several school board members there. I'm getting them together, those that are against Common Core. And I'm trying to get to all the school boards in this valley, in our area. So that's another thing. Reach out to those people individually. If you can't get to them, you know, as a group, start reaching out to them individually. Find those that are of like mind and start building a coalition locally. Get your groundswell going. This is going.
It helps to have something in writing that you hand out. Have facts in writing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Have some information to give to them. I handed them DVDs and information. This is our second meeting now, and so we're actually building quite a coalition here. And the Catholic churches are doing this, are incorporating Common Core. I'm going to reach out to those parents of Catholic school children, and let them know what's coming their way. You need a groundswell from the parents to go to the diocese. So there's a lot that can be done.
I feel like the Baptist Association, I think they will get on board because they're the ones that exposed Blitzen way back in the 1970s. I feel like if we can get the Baptist Association on board and get the pastors on board,
well,
that'd be another good avenue.
That's what we're trying. I've got a pastor coming tomorrow. As a matter of fact, two pastors. So, again, that's where it's at. They've got the access to people. Congregation, their parents, their grandparents, and these pastors have stepped up and doing their job, what they were called.
Diane, I'm going to have to leave you. My phone's cutting off.
Okay.
Out.
We love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Diana, you there?
Hi, go ahead. Yeah,
it's Jackie. I wanted to just point another thing out, that when you were saying to the parents, you know, to please go through your children's book bags and pay attention to what's going on, there's also a lot of things that are moving real quickly now. A lot of the schools, and they're calling it security measures, a lot of the schools I know out here have implemented new what they're calling security measures. We have one school in New Jersey that just put in an iris scan, and I mean iris in your eye, for security to get into the building, okay? There's another school out here that just sent a letter out to all the parents of the students that they're not using lunch cards to swipe anymore. They're using fingerprint scans on the child. You need to look deeper into this, because this is not just something that, oh, wow, this is wonderful. This technology is so advanced. You know, you need to realize where this information that is linked to your child is going, because it doesn't stop at security for the school. That's a lie.
As we just found out, they're also doing that retinal scanning down in Florida, as we all do.
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing that cross-dressing, speaking of the sexuality section of Common Core, they're doing the cross-dressing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Schools
encouraging people to cross-dress.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that parents need to wake up about.
Yeah.
They need to not only look at their children's work, because parents get confused and they all think these are just standards. No, that's just the inside of the cake. That's not where it ends. This is, like I said, there's many layers to this that need to be peeled away.
Yes. Oh, are
oh,
there
indeed.
Ever?
And Al? Oh, go ahead, Christina.
What?
I just said we're peeling. That's what we're doing. We're peeling them away and exposing them to the light.
Well, I think, Alice, y'all have developed a PowerPoint presentation, I think, when y'all were trying to get rid of C-Scope. Do y'all have something
yes.
on Common Core, too?
Well, it's all in the same. I mean, we connect the dots to Common Core. So I've got a whole PowerPoint that I'm more than happy to put out there and for people to use, because it really connects the dots with Linda Darling Hammond and the two philosophies of education. So
I need to look at that. Is it on your Facebook page, Alice, or where is it? Voices Empowered that have that on their site?
I can email it to you.
Okay.
And then we've got the actual PowerPoint, and then we've the last two or three places I've spoken, we've had video taken of it, and I'm waiting for the editor to send that back, so we'll have the whole presentation on video as
okay.
well.
Okay, if you don't mind, send it to Dawn, because Dawn, I think
okay.
we need to let everyone know that.
We need to get
okay.
that up. Yeah, we need to get that out to everybody, too. I would like to copy myself.
And if anyone's questioning who Linda Darling Hammond is, she's a radical Stanford professor who plays a big,
right.
big key in this.
She's right up
oh,
there
yes.
Bill Ayers, William Ayers.
Right, who has got, you know, ties to terrorism. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of information out there. And, I would just like to say that here in New York, I'm working with a group. I don't know, Diana, if you ever spoke with Yvonne Gasparino.
I have. We have spoke with Yvonne. She's she's on Dawn's list, and she does come on.
Yeah, she is unbelievable. I mean, she spends every waking moment fighting Common Core, and she built a website that her and her husband pay for, which is www.stopcommoncoreinnewyork.com. And if you go on her webpage, she has everything, every answer to every question any parent has, and it's so easily laid out in tab sections, presentations for your school boards, questions to ask, how did this come about? All the videos are on her page. She's got examples of schoolwork in different grades for parents to see, is my kid coming home with something that looks like this? You know, she's got so much information on there. She works tirelessly and effortlessly to make this very easy for parents to navigate through. And, you know, you don't have to go searching in 10,000 different spots. Everything is there.
Wow. Well, that
great.
Is so great. We need it. And, you know, I'm so excited hearing you, Jackie, because, you know, that's the greatest help, I think, is when a parent gets it and, you know, you have done your homework. What a shame these principals and superintendents have not even taken an hour's time to do their homework, because I'm sure in an hour you can find a lot of good information. So I'm so proud of you, Jackie, because you're now an expert, and that's so encouraging to hear, Alice, you know, Miss Christina, because we
it
need
is.
Every parent to be like Jackie. I mean, we're going to be unstoppable. These legislators better pray.
I'll tell you. My children's school, they do not like me, but there's some schools that are on board with this, because you have to understand this is the power of the purse. There are administrators that are being paid off. And I know, for instance, in my school, my child's principal doesn't have children. She probably would rather have the money in her pocket. So she's pushing this thing.
Well,
and you have to understand too that, like in Texas, our education is paid for through our property taxes. So we really thought, you know, we can control things through our school board and through controlling the funding through our property taxes. The insidiousness of what they've done with Common Core and with C-Scope and these NGOs, these associations, is that through grant money, a lot of these educrats or people in education are paid through these grants versus through our taxes.
Right. So, and can I just add to that? I know here in New York, our tax dollars for the past 2 years, and this is good for the dads out there because a lot of moms sometimes don't pay attention to the tax things, but that will sure strike something with a dad, okay? Our taxes have not gone to our public school system in the past 2 years. They went to Pearson's, who is the one who is aligning and making and distributing all the test prepping. All our money went to that. And when these schools signed on for this grant money, whatever money that they did get, once they were told all you have to do is sign on to Common Core, which I said was not written, there was nothing to be seen. But these, they went to these schools during the worst economic times, and these schools wanted the money. So they just said okay, and they signed their lives away. They signed their souls to the devil. Now, when the Common Core standards came in, they were then told, okay, well, you need to pay for this, all new textbooks, test prep, test this. This kind of test, they had to give all that money back to the same corporation that it came from.
And
we were in a hole.
They
put us deeper in a hole.
And that is key right there. There's an article that has come out. There's a great article actually in the Washington Post where it talks about the Gates gives $150 million in Common Core grants, and Henry Burke went through and did an analysis on each state of how much Common Core is going to cost each state. And so he is an amazing, he's done amazing work, and I'll put this article. We put it out on Women on the Wall, and please cross-post it on all on the CURE website and on all the other websites. We want to cross-post this information, and Henry Burke is a great person to have on as a speaker, too, to explain the financial side of this grant money and then what it's going to end up costing each state. This is huge, huge, huge.
It's staggering,
right. And,
Alice. It's staggering.
And it's all part of their plan because once the school goes into a hole, once the school goes into a hole and can't afford to stand on it on one leg anymore, the money's behind them with Pearson's and Gates, and they come over, they come in, they take over with their own educators, which is why these teachers have less than 2 years to get their assessments in, okay? Pearson's will then take over and pay these new Pearson educators, teachers, half of what they're paying our educated teachers now, okay? And then the Pearson's and Gates and all of them will take over every public school. They will then be charter schools. And what the parents have to understand is once they turn them into charter schools cherry-pick their students, okay? So any student that's below the standards, like someone like my son who's got a learning disability, he will never become anything in the future. He's out.
That's exactly right.
He's a cog in the system. He's just a cog in their system.
He's not a cog, honey. He's an expendable. It's just that simple. I mean, that's the way the society is going to be set up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have to understand that. But going back to the costs, Alice, I had Henry on another radio show with me. I brought him on so that he could discuss all those staggering costs. It is, people truly have concepts. How expensive it is, and where is the money coming from? Where? Especially in California, where are all these going to come up with all this? It's because 64% of it has to be paid up by the state of the total cost, according to Henry's analysis.
Right.
Well, I'm sure there'll be new grants put into place.
Well, in Alabama, what they did, our estate superintendent, oh my goodness, Tommy Baez, has lied to the people. He moved money out of our reading initiative, which was the number one reading initiative in the country. And Professor Stotsky, who was on the National Validation Committee, was talking about, you know, even in Massachusetts, they were reusing Alabama's reading program. It was so good. And Massachusetts is a leader in English language arts. But he took money from that reading initiative, and to the point that our legislature had to tell, whoa, that money is earmarked. Don't be stealing. Do not steal that money. And they put him back in place, and they're going to oversee it. But that was the only sunshine we saw in this legislative session. But so they're lying, they're stealing, and I wish we could hold them to account. I really wish that, Ms. Christina, Alice, but we're going to have to make some changes, and that is by pressing during the summer, doing our work. And I think, Jackie, you know, what's happening is really God is calling us back to him as a country, as a nation, as a people. And so, you know, it's just, it's horrible that it has to happen this way. It is a calling us back to him, but I do believe he gave us a scripture yesterday, which I just so loved it. Ms. Christina, what was that? Isaiah 53:12?
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
To 56 something, but oh, it's so wonderful because in, and I don't have my Bible in front of me, but on one of this, Alice,
it's 3:12 to 55:6.
Yeah, and so please write that down, Jackie and Alice. You're going to love it. And one of the scriptures, Ms. Christina, are you reading it by chance? Is it in front of you about the children that he will, you know, he will teach our children. I cannot remember the exact words.
I'll pull it right up. I'm just looking at your text. And I want you to know that right when I was praying this morning, and I was asking the Lord, I had the Bible in my hand, and I said, Lord, what would you like me to read today? At that very instant, Diana's text came through to me this morning with scripture. So you tell me,
wow.
God's hand is not on all that we are doing.
He sure is. He sure is, because the first time I ever spoke to Diana, the first time I spoke on here, I was, you heard me, I was crying. I was a mess. I didn't know what to do and how to help my child. And through that, I received an email through this education, education plan that he's doing now at home. And, you know, that God works in very mysterious ways. And, you know, from my voice being out there to my son being in a safe place now, and I owe that all to God, and, you know, I just let him lead the way.
Amen. Oh, he is so good to us, and I'm just so grateful. Ms. Christina, have you read the words already? I'm sorry.
I'm okay, so Isaiah, here's 54:1. Sing, O barren one, you not bear, break forth into singing, cry aloud, you who did not fail with child, for the children of the desolate one be more than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, let the curtains of your habitations stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded and depressed, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not seriously remember the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit and heart, or even a wife in youth when she is refused and scorned, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great passion and mercy I will gather you to me again. That's what he's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with age-enduring love and kindness I will have compassion and mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you or rebuke you. For through the mountains to depart and hills be shaken or removed, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace and completeness, be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Mm. Want me to continue?
Well, wait to the children, to the child.
Let's see. So it's 53 to 55. Let me find the, let's see. Okay. And all your children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord, and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure. Did you get that?
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Well, in my version, which is the NIV, it was that he will teach the children. And I had to read, because that's exactly what we're dealing with, is the enemy is trying to teach the children and lead them away from the Lord. But he said he will teach the children. So y'all look that up. The NIV version had that word for me in 54:13. It was just, how good of God when he knows we're hurting, you know, Alice, Miss Christina, and Jackie. He knows you're hurting, and you're hurting for the children. But we are not helpless. We are not alone, because he's telling us right there he is going to help us. So I'm just so excited. But before we go, I really want to ask something about the idea about the opt-out form. Alice, what are your thoughts about the opt-out form?
Well, I think it's good, but I have not seen it implemented. But I also think in doing an opt-out form, you've got to have a solution. You've got to have something for the children to you've got to have solutions at the local level. So just to opt out,
You got to create an alternative.
We've got to create the alternative, and that's one of the things that when we've been going into these local districts, what's interesting in Texas, how they targeted these very small rural communities, small districts, because they said they couldn't afford curriculum writers, so they needed C-Scope. Well, what that does is it creates in a small community a controversy, because you have people who, for instance, you'll have an education service center employee who's married to a teacher who's teaching C-Scope, or who a curriculum specialist for the district. So their family's income is tied to this product. Well, when you have that in a small community where people go to church together, where they have their kids play soccer together, when you come in and you say, you know, they're teaching your children a socialist Marxist curriculum, or you start attacking those people, those are people in the community. Those are people that they go to church with. And so what we're trying to do is, when we go in, is not accuse people of things, but lay out the big picture, show them the big picture, and then say, okay, you've got all these great people right here in your own community. Let's figure out a way to use these tax dollars to pay teachers like we used to work together in teams to come up with the curriculum here locally. There's no need to buy curriculum from the Education Service Center. And so I think it's very important that we talk in terms of solutions, not just explaining and you know, sounding the alarm without any solution.
I agree, Alice.
I agree, too.
Yeah. And that's what we wanted. That's what our national coalition is doing. One of our people, Ruthie, her husband is a professor. He's got the Master Educators Program. So it's all about coming up. We're smart, intelligent people. We can do this. We can come up with alternatives for parents. You know, Jackie found an alternative. We can find these for parents. We can have them listed. That's the point of our website, you know, natcheer.org. is because we're going to have all of these options there. I mean, we're frantically working because this is going fast as we are, but it's all these options will be up. And so if we have things like this and work toward that goal that you're talking about, Alice, which is our goal as well, is we could have a lot of that stuff up this summer in time for parents to have these alternatives. And absolutely work on a paradigm of solutions. Yes, we have to educate. There's no question. We have to educate. But we also have to come up with the solution. That's what our job is.
Miss Christina, one of the things that I think is teachers that are in the middle here, they love their children, but they also, feel like, well, I have to provide for my family. How are we going to go on if I lose my job? And there's so many of them that are single parents, so they don't even have a husband to help them. And I'm just thinking of the wonderful Christian Educators Association International, which they were, Finn Lawson was so good, CEAI is the initials, and you need to look them up. But this Christian organization, which is a teacher's, like a teacher's union that will really represent you, we had Sharon Sewell who said that, yeah, if it weren't for them, she would have lost her job because the AEA, the Alabama version of the NEA, was not there for her. And so, but CEAI time and again stood for her. So people need to be letting the teachers know there is an alternative for you. It's something called like CEAI, and I'm sure Larry Sanders, CTEN, CTEN in California is another great source, viable option for our teachers. But teachers need to know there is a better way. You do need to get help. And really, for you to be silent is not going to help you because eventually they will get to you. They will get rid of you. If you're one that loves a child, they will eventually weed you out and get rid of you.
Did you see, anybody see the video, the viral video yesterday of that teacher that put her quit?
Her resignation.
Her resignation and why she's doing it?
Because
they've totally removed the teacher's capability of teaching. It's just not even possible with the regulations, the government, the controls. They are not teaching anymore. And they're recognizing it. Yeah, it is a huge, big deal.
They're also destroying the parent, the teacher-student relationship.
Well, totally. That's the goal. That is the
goal. That is absolutely the goal. And I just wanted to tell you guys real quick, when I went in this morning to pick up my daughter to take her out of that NWEA test, I had to go to the front desk, and I went into the office, and the woman that I approached went to call my daughter's classroom to have her sent down, and she had paperwork on her desk, which I couldn't help myself. I had to look down and read it sideways, and I was almost disgusted at what I was reading. Of course, I came back to speak to my partner, Yvonne, about this, but the letter was, I guess they were in a batch, and they were going out to teachers, and the letter basically said that, I'm assuming it was something they had to sign, because if they don't, if their students don't get enough data to show that these teachers are pushing these standards to their liking, that they are now going to revoke their certificates. And this is what I read when I was standing in the office, and I actually said to the woman, because, I'm an instigator, and I said, what's that? And she covered it up quickly with a piece of paper, and there was the principal, who does not like me, and said, could you please wait outside in the hallway for your daughter? And I said, well, I'm fine right here. And she goes, well, I don't appreciate you looking over her shoulder. I said, how am I looking over her shoulder? She's sitting right across from me. We're face to face. I couldn't possibly look over her shoulder if she's in front of me. And she said, please just wait out in the hallway for your daughter.
Wow.
And I said, is this to collect data on our children? She goes, no, it's not, with her nasty attitude. And they kicked me out of the office. And I saw it with my own eyes, and I had to write to Yvonne and tell Yvonne, you need to research what this means. I said it was either TSLA or TLSA, and Yvonne researched it. It was teacher student learning assessment. and they're threatening these teachers now that their certificates are going to be revoked, which means they will not be able to teach anywhere else.
Wow.
Once they get done with them.
That's in California too.
They're not just gonna let them go. They're going to revoke their certification.
Right. That's what we were talking about. Recertification.
They're gonna teach them. Oh my God. They gotta treat them like criminals and take away their earning a living.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I said, they are threatening their bread and water. I mean, this is their paychecks. This is how they support their family. There's a lot of caring, nurturing teachers out there that care about our students. They're not allowed to care about them anymore because now they're just test scores. Our children are now just numbers. And those teachers have the pressure to get those numbers out of our kids.
Well, Alice and Ms. Christina, I smell a lawsuit here if a teachers would just do that. And I'm thinking, I know this is Bill Gates' idea because he made it very clear that, you know, he wants to get rid of the so-called bad teachers. And, of course, if you can't measure, you know, how they're teaching the kids, you know, then you can't measure how good these teachers are. And that was criteria number one for him. So I'm thinking, why not smell a lawsuit here, Alice or Ms. Christina?
Well, that's what we're hoping, isn't it? Some of this come to the forefront. You know, I heard a story here yesterday, just to show how everything is out of control. This isn't Common Core related, but there was a lady here. We have where I live, there's a mountain. I can look out directly at a mountain. There's a lot of people that have houses up in that mountain. As a matter of fact, we look to build ours there. But you can go up there and you can walk. It's been up there for years, and it's lighted every night. It's quite nice. But you're allowed to walk. There's trails up there and all of this stuff. Yesterday, there was a lady who was walking her dog on a leash, and the Bureau of Land Management came up to her and said, "You can't be here." She says, "What do you mean I can't be here? You know, I'm walking my dog, you know, and stuff like that." Well, you can't be here, and your dog is supposed to be on a leash. The dog was on a leash. They took the woman away in handcuffs for violating whatever law. We can't figure this out yet. I put her in touch with several legal foundations, again, that are, you know, helping people like us that are being, you know, attacked and singled out and so on and so forth. This land management is part of Sustainability Agenda 21. It's one of these that's out of control as we take over our cities and towns. So there's just another story. We've got the education, but we've got them coming after citizens for all kinds of...
Oh, yeah. It's a police... This is... Yeah, it's you know, police state now. I mean, I don't know if you heard about the story of... this was out on the airwaves and all over Facebook as well. There was a student whose parents refused their son to take one of the standardized tests, and the school decided to punish him by not letting him play in the Little League team or the softball team, and they actually went as far as to have the police on the baseball field so that her son would not be able to play on the baseball team after school.
Coming to a very ugly part in our society, as we know, but we also know that our God is greater. When I keep hearing these stories, I just look up because our God is greater. He knows what's going on, and He knows what He wants us to accomplish. And we have to become really proactive, look to Him first, pray like we're doing, and get busy. We've got a lot of work to do to accomplish what
it is. And inform our children, too, Ms. Christina, because I think Professor Sandra Stopsky mentioned when she was on last week that there were students being asked to sign a gag order, which is unconstitutional. And I believe it was her that said that. So I need to research that. But, you know, if it comes out of Sandra Stopsky's mouth, you know it's true. But I'd like to know what state that was in. So, Alice, we just have so much work to do. I mean, and I know your head is probably like mine, just turning, but God is bigger. So with that in mind, I'm not going to keep you all longer because I know you all have got things to do with your children and family. But, Ms. Christina, would you mind closing us? And Alice, please, as soon as you read that, Ms. Christina's going to send you for the Southern Baptist I know that there's pastors that love the Lord, and they will not let the enemy take the minds of our children. So I'm believing great things is going to happen. Please be sure that Dr. Jeffries, is it Jeffries, that's the president of the Southern Baptist,
yes.
Please make sure he gets a hold of it.
Yes,
we have a
I will do that.
Yeah, we have a certification attached to it. Diana got her pastor to certify. The only thing, Alice, is I need your, I've got it all ready to send to you. I just have to, I need your email.
I will send you her email, Ms. Christina. I'll send it to you as soon as we get off.
Send me the
I will. It's the Voices in Power one. Sorry about that. Well, Jackie,
yes.
Just thank you so much, Jackie. And you'll have to come back on. Oh, I'm so thankful to God because, you know, people are watching and listening to the audio that you've done, and you did so well, Jackie. I mean, you got through to parents' hearts. I've not heard of a parent yet that did not break down when they heard you. I really haven't, because it's just, you know, it just moves what God has put in our heart, that instinctive, you know, part of us that wants to take care and nurture the child. It just really pulled it out of us. So thank you very much for being on, and again, and the fight. I'm so excited because you're taking this on as great and high a level. You should be
thank
taking
you.
In New York and the world. So, thank you,
thank
Jackie.
You, ladies,
I'm
for listening.
For your family. Oh, well,
thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm going to go
bye.
Ahead and turn it over, Ms. Christina. God bless you, Jackie.
Thank you.
I was going to tell Jackie to pray.
Oh,
okay, Jackie, would you mind?
Want to pray, girl?
Yeah, I get tongue-tied when I pray, but
about it. God knows your heart, and it's just the words, Jackie. You just pray from your heart, sweetheart. God hears it. It doesn't matter whether we stumble. We all do. So don't even feel that.
Sure.
We're here picking you up, and we're all gathered, and the Lord is right here with us. So I just thought it'd be nice maybe if Jackie prayed.
Okay. So, dear Lord, for our voices, we pray that you send us a large, loud voice, Lord, for everyone to hear, to get our story out. We thank you for protecting us.
Uh-oh.
Savior, our knowledge, our truth, and our light, and we pray that you fill us with knowledge and the Spirit and everything there is to fill us, to give us the strength to fight this evil, Lord, because we know that you are stronger than this evil, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the knowledge that you have given us so far. And we know that you are going to fill us with so much more, Lord, and give us the strength to get through this and to protect our children and protect our country. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful.
Oh, thanks, everyone. Oh, thank you, Jackie. Well, thank God bless each of you and listeners. We thank God that you're listening. Please share the podcast. And, again, we invite people to go to cityonahill.tv and share the podcast. Thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And I just want to share this, everybody. Professor Jim Milgram will be on tomorrow. So he was on that National Validation Committee, and he's going to talk about those math standards. So God bless you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.